This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
Hey friends, welcome to Storytime. Today is a very special episode because it is the first episode of the summer. And it is an important interview. So I'll be playing my interview with Anton Yelchin, a talented young actor who was in Vancouver filming a movie last week when we hung out for a bit and talked about the science of storytelling for film. So I'm going to play the interview, but a quick note to those listening, don't tune out to the beginning just because we're talking about boring things. The end is really cool and worth it. And without further ado, here's the interview.
Come on. Come on. Yeah.
Come on, come on. Technical difficulties on the interviews. So we're going to play a PSA, figure it out, and get back to you. This is Storytime on CITR 101.9 FM.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try, anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power science world for over 75 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Strength.
Dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence,
choice,
hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives.
Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help. Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful.
I think I was blind before I met you.
SpongeBob, you're wasting me precious carbon dioxide. I'm pumping it into the atmosphere, boy. Thanks to global warming, the temperature will soon go through the roof, and then we'll have an endless summer.
Why do you want an endless summer, Mr. Krabs?
So I can open me latest money-making venture, the Krusty Pool.
The endless summer does sound fun.
And profitable.
Fun and profitable. Big business does it again.
Unfortunately, for those of us who aren't talking sponges, climate change isn't quite as fun. Luckily, there are many easy ways for students to conserve energy.
If chargers for cell phones, cameras, and laptops are left plugged in, they continue to draw electricity even when not connected to the device. This phantom load can be avoided by unplugging electronics and chargers after use. A more convenient option is to hook electronics up to a power bar, which can be switched off after use.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Evan Friday saved my life. So back on story time and enjoy.
I don't think you can tell that a script will make a good movie because there's so many elements that go into a film. I don't think a good script necessarily means it's going to be a good film, but I think when you read a good script or you read something and it has an interesting idea, I think there are a number of ways of going about it. I think sometimes you'll read something that has an interesting idea if not every element of the script is sort of perfect, if it's not exactly on point, like there are little things that are off, but the central idea is very strong and it's a well executed idea, even if certain things are a little off. Mm-hmm. Especially things like dialogue, you can always change that, you know, if there's mm-hmm. too much dialogue, and once you start working on the character, you can always trim stuff down. So and then sometimes you'll just read a script and you'll go, this is a great script. I mean, there's nothing, it works as an idea, as a philosophy. the dialogue is, it's well written, you know what I mean? So it's, but that never means it's going to be a good film, because I've read a lot of good scripts.
But say you got, okay, so say you wanted to choose between two films, potentially, and you could only choose one, and so if you just had those two scripts, you would say there was a central idea that would push you towards another one, even if it was like, even if the other one was way better written, just as long as the central idea was more interesting, you would choose the one with the central.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's a number of things. It's the idea, like, the character, who's involved, who the director is. It's in all these things. I mean, largely it comes down to the character, you know, because sometimes you just think, this is a fascinating character and I want to explore that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I tend to be interested by either the philosophy behind the filmmaking, the philosophy of the film itself, the idea. But also, sometimes you read something and you go, well, I don't know how I feel about this as a whole, but I love this character. I think this might make something interesting. It's... I don't know, it's not set in stone, you know what
okay,
I mean?
I know, how the, it's kind of like process. It works with each other, and I guess it's also who else is working on it.
Right.
And other things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I was wondering, in terms of character you're talking about, how do you balance between doing so much work on the character, like in depth, but then when you're doing it on screen, making it just look everyday and natural? How do you keep that all that work behind, but then at the moment, you're just playing it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just there?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess you... I don't know.
Okay.
I think that... I think you have to do the work. I don't know how you could... I mean, for me, you have to do as much work as possible. And then when you're there, if things just... You've figured things out intellectually, then you just feel them,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because you have to sort of intellectualize it so you can understand where the feeling goes or what the feeling is. And then once you've intellectualized it, you try to just replace it with just feeling things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say... Yeah, but do you ever, for example, because there's so many technicalities when it comes to, like, storytelling in film, especially when it comes to a certain specific shot and, like, it's an awkward, it's not exactly what it would be in real life, how do you work with that? Does that ever screw you up in terms
yeah, sure.
of what you've prepared?
I mean, sometimes, no, I don't know, you just have to adjust. Sometimes you got to fight for what you believe. Sometimes you got to realize what you thought or you wanted from the moment isn't what's going to happen. There's also another actor, you know what I mean? You adjust to what they're doing. As long as they're creating something interesting, you sort of can go with them and be fascinated by what they're doing.
That actually always interests me. Like, is it harder for you to do scenes alone than with other people? Because you can feed off other people when you're doing it?
No, I think it's equally challenging, I think, to try to make stuff that seems real and true or honest or whatever. It's just a fucking crazy thing to try to be doing, kind of.
But it's so cool because you forget everything that you're doing at that moment if you're with, I don't know, if you're with that other person and you're creating something that's real. Because it has to be real, you have to be real, right? Do you forget about everything, or is that very present, like, oh, there's a camera right here in my face?
No, you try to forget everything. I mean, you try to I guess focus in, but you would do that if you're alone too, you know?
Yeah, but this more like synthetic, like creating, do you know what I mean?
Not necessarily. I mean, when you're alone, the moments of a person being alone are just as real or not real as they are of a person being with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, in daily life, sometimes we perform things for ourselves all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't switch off, you know, whatever it is that we've, this identity that we've chosen or created or in the process of creating, we play those moments out alone, we play them out with each other. It becomes more complex with another person, I think, but it can be equally as complex when you're alone to try to convey ideas or things like that.
Yeah, because I always thought it would be easier with another person because you can feed off of someone and it gives you a sense of real life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I thought maybe it would be easier with other people.
I don't know. I think it's equally odd, I think.
And so before you do a scene, do you always talk to that person? If you have someone that you're doing with, or a couple people,
do you always talk to them about it? Like, okay, what are we trying to say in this scene? Or does it just happen?
I guess it depends on the other person. I like to talk about stuff with people, but not everyone likes to talk about things, and you sort of feel things out with one another. You know, sometimes without saying it, you're just feeling out what they're trying to do. And but you always talk about, in the course of, like, blocking a scene or whatever, you're always talking about ideas that you have, whether you talk about them really out in the open or they express themselves sort of subliminally in what the other person's trying to do. You can kind of read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think.
Okay. This is what I was going to ask. So if you're watching a movie or you're reading a book or you're listening to a song, whatever that's, like, portraying a story to you, what part of it has the power to most touch you? So, for example, if you're watching a movie and say one thing is really good, and even if everything else is bad, you can still be convinced.
Yeah.
Like, what would that be? Writing, directing?
Oh. I think that in a film, the director should be the one that... You know, I think, unfortunately, most people don't really think of film as a language. So, like, a movie is like a novel, and just that all the elements, all the frames, all the space, the constructed space is just... The letters become the sounds and the images and the movements. And the words and phrases and sentences are constructed out of the shots. So when I watch a movie, the thing that interests me the most is the language being used by the filmmaker, you know, to construct what is being said.
And by language, you mean all of those things put together?
Yeah, I mean, by language, I mean the space constructed by the filmmaker, where they put the camera, how they connect the shots, what they're saying with their film language, how they're speaking, how they're writing with, you know, film, how they're writing in a visual medium.
Okay. Like all those things combined. If you know that you have to portray something in a scene or portray something about your character in a scene, do you ever think about it in terms of how people are going to be watching you, or does it all come from internally?
Yeah, I think it's internal, probably. I don't really think about what people are going to be...
Well, just in terms of not like people looking at you and judging it, but what, as a viewer, you would like to see that character do. Do you know what I mean? Like, how, as a viewer, you would understand this emotion.
I don't think of other viewers. I think of what I would like to convey and how I see that it should be conveyed. And then, you know, because everyone's going to read every moment differently. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Actually, I wanted to ask you something about just, like, normally. Do you go on solo missions a lot?
Yeah, I like walking around alone and stuff. I tend to meet less people, have less conversations if I'm in groups.
Okay.
Because you sort of are part of the group.
You're, like, part of the group. I was talking about that with somebody today, like, how when you're in a group, you have, like, your role, even if you don't want to have a role.
Yeah.
That's just, like, your role. And when it's one-on-one, or if it's just one of you, that person can only really see you because it's only you. You have, like, nothing. You don't have your role in the group.
Yeah, I think also the group... the group overwhelms your own activity, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. As simple as, like, going out with a group of friends, you then do what a group of your friends are going to do, you know? And I like sometimes just being alone, walking around. If I need to stop and stare at, like, some neon for, like, 30 minutes, I can do that and not worry that anyone else is with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, actually, I have another question that I was going to ask. Oh, yeah, no, actually, I was going to ask about just in Vancouver, if you've gone anywhere cool or if you like anywhere specific. And have you been here before?
Yeah, this is my 7th or 8th time in Vancouver. I can't remember. Maybe 7th time. Yeah, I really like, I liked Funky Winker Beans.
What's that?
It's like a punk club on Hastings.
Cool. I've never heard of it.
Funky Winker Beans. I liked, right next to Funky Winker Beans is this, some of the most awesome neon signage I've ever seen. It says Save on Meat.
Oh, yeah.
It has that flying pig. I love that.
Because you like places with cool signs.
I just always find neon really beautiful. It's like such a urban thing, neon. You know, it's like bright neon lights.
Did you watch Spring Breakers?
Conveyed to, yeah, I did. But I don't mean neon in the sense of just neon colors. I mean like neon signs, like signposts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's such a thing, a man-made thing that's meant to entice you and is so artificial and kind of beautiful, and it just glows in the night in this odd way, you know. It never seems to be efficient.
Why?
I don't know. It's just never like, because the idea is to entice you to go do this thing. And most of the neon that you see these days is like old neon and it's faded glory. Like when I see Save on Meat, I don't go, you know what? I feel like saving on some meat today.
And it's,
you
like
know?
Buzzing.
And it's buzzing. It's like this kind of relic of some kind, like of the first half of the century, or maybe, you know.
So
we don't have as much
like
neon these days. Neon signs.
But if it's
days.
Faded out, why? Like, what is it? Is it the vintage feel that you like?
No, I think, like, you know, we build stuff so we can have meaning or tell other people to do something that we want them to do, and we convince them they need something and want something, and then once its efficiency is passed, it just is a reminder of how desperately we want to make people do other things or convince people that they need something or want something or that their life is missing something.
Like, you mean consumerism type thing?
I don't think it's just consumerism. I think it's everything. Everything is constructed to provide meaning for someone or get someone to accept your meaning or oftentimes make money off of whoever you want the meaning to be sold to. But, like, you know, also old neon motels have the kind of beauty to them, just the glowing motel signs. And I think also a lot of it's influenced by cinematographers that I really admire and love, like Robbie Mueller. That kind of glow, soft, palleted, but artificial-looking glow. I don't really know how to even describe it. But Laszlo Kovacs had a kind of, it's like weird, kind of realistic, but like hyper realistic, but not too much. It's just, I don't know.
It's almost like a filter?
It's not a filter. I don't know how they do it. They're just pretty magical mm-hmm. DPs.
Interesting. Is there, okay, so we've talked about film and kind of touched on books, but is there music? You were saying you like the punk rock place. Does that mean you like punk rock music? And is there stories in that that attract you to it?
In music, I mostly like sounds. I don't, you know, sometimes I like stories. You know, I like old Delta blues. I find it really moving a lot of the times because the tales are about sort of, sometimes about spiritual desolation and trying to find sort of, go for it. trying to find substance and meaning. I like punk rock. I mean, I just like noise. I like noise music, so punk sometimes, depending on
how. See, I never understood that, because to me, noise music is too noisy for me to not to understand, but to be able to just chill to it, like how I think music should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think music, it's an emotion, I think, of some kind, whether it's very intellectualized, whether it's simple emotions or really complex dissonant emotions. I like dissonance a lot in music and sound in particular. Mm-hmm. I think we live in an environment that's incredibly dissonant in the city.
Can you describe that word, please?
Dissonance is like, it's the opposite of harmony, like as a,
like everything.
Yeah, it's a collision, and it's like dissonant sounds are like sounds that go against being. Once again, I'm not a music student, so it may not literally be in music theory the opposite of harmony, mm-hmm. but dissonance is like cacophonous sounds, like sounds that go against one another as opposed to complementing one another. You know.
So the reason that you like it is because to you it sort of echoes the type of world that we live in where everything's just kind of like,
I think it just echoes the sound too. I mean, if you listen to the sound, like there are our voices are moving somewhere, and there's the sound of the street. I mean, it's pretty quiet in here right now, but if I like were to open this, you'd hear so much shit, like just the sound and horns and that and this and like that and like all these sounds, you know?
Okay, I understand.
Anyway, I just like it. I think it's interesting. And whenever I play music, I get more drawn to it and to trying to mimic it.
Is there a song that you're listening to right now? I really don't want to say the word song of the summer, but is there a song of the summer for you?
I don't know any new music, man. I've just been listening to like old country records and stuff. Okay. I don't know any. What is your song of the summer? Yeah, how often do you listen to a song a day?
Today I listened to it
62 times.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the part. I just love it. You just want to dance to it. But you have to wait for the thing. Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's not your type of music. It's not, there's not enough cacophony. And I actually wanted to ask you.
I want to introduce you.
Okay, what's this?
I want to introduce you to Henry. That's the next song I'm getting ready to do right now. And I want to do it, and I want everybody to say hello to Henry. Henry. First, I gotta put a cigarette in his mouth because that's the only way he works. And then when he works, tonight, some mother's daughter's gonna be happy. Some father's son is gonna get the fur burger. Bless you.
A fur burger.
You have just given something. Henry
Screaming Jay Hawkins.
A light for the man who reaches into your chest and fumble with your emotions and take your most choicest one and delicately destroy it and gracefully bow out of your life. So in the heat of the meat and the mass,
so there's no music.
The shade of the toothpick beats the hot boiling sun. Move down.
Is it even music?
Is it? Whoa. What was that? Demon. Let's see.
It's not music. Okay.
It will be his head. What piece of information?
That the Velvet Revolution was named after because they were all listening to Velvet Underground.
In Prague?
Yeah.
I don't know very much about the Velvet
cool?
Revolution. I didn't know that.
Neither did I, but I found out.
When? Who told you?
I went to Prague last year.
Incredible source?
I went to Prague last year. That's how I found out. Oh, and also, can you say your name?
Anton.
Last name?
Yelch.
Okay. Because my friend said it wrong.
I know.
I know. She
just
was
kidding.
She was like, you know, I'm so embarrassed I said his last name wrong.
Many people get my last name wrong.
Okay. I have another question.
Yeah?
A couple of movies that you really like. I will make you choose a favorite, but a couple of movies that you really like.
Taxi Driver. Maybe Sallow. Joan of Arc? Not the one with Lily Sobieski, the drier one. Trial of Joan of Arc. Or Joan of Arc is it called. Vampire? Drier? Man with a movie camera? High Sierra? Michael Curtiz's movies in the 30s, like Angels with Dirty Faces. The one with Edward G. Robinson where he plays the boxing promoter. Kid Galahad. James Cagney movies. Crossfire with Robert Ryan. Night of the Hunter. Touch of Evil. Gun Crazy. The Black Cat with Bela Lugosi. Sunrise, the Murnau film. My shoulder. Well, that was a lot of movies.
Okay, that is a lot of movies. And now you have to tell me your all-time favorite character.
I have to tell you?
Yeah.
My what?
All-time favorite character.
What?
You have to have those, like out of movies.
Travis Bickle
from
Taxi Driver. Just so you think, I'm not a total fucking asshole. I'll play you a tune I really like.